Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
That's right, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody here on ACB Radio's Main Menu Live program. And it's been a weekend for sure. We had a wonderful time putting together the ACB Radio Interactive birthday for you. And this week on Main Menu Live, we're going to be talking further now about broadcasting on the Internet, and specifically broadcasting on ACB Radio Interactive. Let's first welcome Daryl Chandra, my co-host. Hello, Daryl.
Good evening, everyone.
That's right. Go ahead, Daryl. You want to give them some contact information?
Yes, absolutely. I'm just in the process of signing in to MSN right now. That address for MSN Windows Live Messenger is mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you'd like to keep track of what's going on in a text format, as it happens on the show, you may do so in one of two ways. One is our Twitter page at twitter.com/mainmenu. That's twitter.com/mainmenu. Or you may go to the Main Menu blog, mainmenu.acbradio.org, and check out the show notes section near the bottom of the blog. And the Twitter updates will be placed automatically on that page.
That's right.
And you can also dial us at 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
That's right. And if I think that's it. Oh, we do have email going too. So if you want to email any questions in, I have that going here. And here's Main Menu. He's actually on now. And so if you want to email us, you can do that too, mainmenu@acbradio.org. It's hard for us to get over there. It's not as efficient for us to do that, but we will do our best to make sure we get those as well. So, wow, we already have a caller. Daryl, why don't you introduce our panel while I take this call, and we'll go from there, all right? Go ahead.
Excellent. Well, we have with us on the panel tonight Deb Lewis.
Hi there.
And JC.
Hi there.
And Byron Lee. DJs all at ACB Radio Interactive. And we just capped off ACB Radio Interactive's 7th birthday. That's right. We've been broadcasting, having a great time on the radio for 7 years now. And it's just really been an amazing trip. I've listened part of that time, and I've been a broadcaster. Karen and I have been a broadcaster for a little over a year now. So do we have the caller, Jeff?
We do, actually, and it's quite a surprise, and it's kind of a neat way to start things out here. Matt Campbell has called us. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Yay, hey, yes. Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Now, Matt, of course, is and hello, Byron, you're back.
And hello.
And one of the things that Matt Campbell did was he was very influential in actually getting things going. And we thought we'd talk a little bit about what happens behind the scenes when we actually broadcast before we get into the nuts and bolts. I know we want to talk to Debbie all about Playlist Creator, because that's something that Daryl and I, neither one of us, use. And I know that that JC uses Aughts, which some people love and some people hate. and we'll talk to you all about what are the advantages of that. And of course, Byron, the weird guy that he is, he probably uses something totally different. I think you're using DuckStream, aren't you, Byron? Oh, I think Byron went away. Can you guys hear me?
I was going to say, am I the only one who couldn't hear Byron?
No, I'm not sure. Daryl, are you there? Ah, Skype has gone away. Here we are. Are you guys back?
We're back.
Okay, good.
Actually, you didn't leave. I think you did.
I think I left. I don't know what happened.
Boingy, boingy.
Where was I when I left?
You were just talking about how Byron uses DuckStream, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I didn't know if... Yeah, you use DuckStream. Okay. All right, so before we get into all that...
Fantastic.
Of course it is.
Fantastic DuckStream.
Of course it is. All right, well, let's let Matt talk a little bit about some of the technical details behind the scenes, and then we'll get into some of the actual production tools that people use. So let's go ahead and do that. Go ahead and take it away, Matt.
Okay, well, I suppose that these days I'm most famous for my involvement with Serotek, but that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. Back in 2001 and 2002, I was quite involved with ACB Radio in a couple of ways. At first, I did the installation and initial setup of ACB's Linux server, which runs, I think that server currently runs all 5 ACB Radio streams. Maybe the new server is running one or two of them now. I'm not really in the loop as much as I was. But
the new server runs the world stream, I think.
Yeah. So I did the installation and initial setup of the ACB's first Linux server, which runs most of the streams, including Interactive. And probably what I'm more well-known for in ACB Radio context is the Supercast streaming audio server, which takes a single broadband stream coming from the broadcaster. Originally, it was typically at 56 kilobits per second. Now it's at 128. And Supercast relays that stream off to the Nullsoft Shoutcast server, which is what you probably tune into when you listen to Interactive. And it also re-encodes that stream down to a lower bitrate stream for dial-up users. Now, these days, broadband is probably widespread enough that the dial-up stream may not be that relevant. But when we got into broadband in 2001, continued access to Interactive for dial-up users was a must. So, being the programmer who always looks for ways to solve problems using software, I volunteered to write the Supercast streaming audio server, which I've since open-sourced. And haven't released any updates to since 2002. But just a bit of information about how Interactive works behind the scenes. Supercast is a Shoutcast-compatible server, the most notable feature being the re-encoding of streams down to a lower bitrate.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and actually we do, people definitely use the modem stream still. So you'd be surprised how many people are still using that, Matt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah, pretty amazing, really. I would think everybody would be off dial-up, but no, we still have users, so. When are you going to come back and do a show?
I've thought about doing it off and on. I've expanded my music collection quite a bit since I left in February 2005. Maybe when development for Serotek settles down a little.
Oh, like that's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
I think Mike's going to keep you pretty busy. So.
Yeah, well, maybe I could at least make time on the weekend.
There you go. Yeah, that's good, as opposed to working on the weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, Matt, thank you very much for calling in, and that's been...
by the way, if anyone is curious about Supercast, the website is supercast.sourceforge.net, or
okay,
a slightly shorter URL, supercast.sf, as in Sierra Foxtrot, .net.
All right, there's that ham in you. All right.
No, actually, I mastered the military alphabet while I was testing the first version of Serotek's flagship product.
All right,
the first version of Serotek's original product, I should say.
Okay, good. All right, well, keep listening, Matt, and thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Later, bye.
866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Now, let's go ahead, and Debbie's actually in Seattle. No, she's in D.C., right?
I'm in D.C. right
now.
You're
in D.C., yeah. And so we got people all over the place tonight. We have another caller, but before we take that call, I wanted to give Debbie an opportunity to talk with us a little bit about playlist creator, because this is a very, very powerful tool. But I think sometimes for those who have attempted to use it, it's been a bit daunting. And so, Debbie, can you describe for us, you know, what is the tool? How do, and how do you? I know you use it for your show quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I actually couldn't do it without it. I guess that's probably not really true, but I think it's true. Anyway, it's a companion product to the Station Playlist Studio, and it is, as its name suggests, it's a playlist creation tool. And basically what it does is you establish categories for your music. You could establish one, or you could establish 2,000. I mean, depending on how sophisticated you want to be in controlling the flow of your music. And then once you establish, and you establish the categories simply by putting the music into particular folders any way you want to decide that, and then basically telling a creator what folders are associated with which categories. And so there's a very accessible dialogue for doing that. And then the place where people get confused about this is then you can take those categories and you can put them into what are called rotations. And so, for example, let's say I was doing an oldies show, because I do one, and so let's say I wanted to play at the top of the first hour every week. I'd like to play two tracks from the 50s and then a track from the 60s, and then I'd like to play a track by the Beatles, and then I'd like to play a Motown track. So I might have categories for all of those. And so my rotation specifies the orders that the categories are called in. And if I just want one category, I can just specify the whole rotation to be that category. But if I want to make it more sophisticated and designate the kinds of songs to have happen, I could do that. If I was actually broadcasting a lot of hours, I could say in the third hour I only want to hear slow love songs, or, you know, ever how I divided that up. And then the final piece of this is to develop a schedule. And the schedule just is basically the 7 days of the week and the 24 hours of the day. And then you assign your rotations, which have your categories in them, to the schedule in the places that you want them to play. And so the magic of that is I fill in for a number of people in addition to doing my own shows. And one of the reasons that I can do that is if I am comfortable with doing their format, I can actually set up their hours in advance so that Creator will create them. So, for example, if I am filling in for Darlene on Tuesday, Creator knows to produce Christian format from my stuff. And if I was to fill in for JC on Friday, I'm just using examples that I actually really occasionally do, it knows to produce rock, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s rock. And so I don't have to worry about hunting up what to play. If I fill in for Pemby, for example, it knows to pick up 70s and 80s. So it knows, because I've told it these things, it knows the schedule. So none of you better ever change your times, because if you do, then I'll play the wrong format when I fill in for you.
Now, it's Deb Cook filling in for Byron Lee with the Christian rock format.
Exactly. Well, so it does know to do comedy. I just have such a small comedy collection, but it does know to bring comedy into the rotation if I fill in for Byron.
Now, the main reason why I haven't used Studio or Creator for my show, although WTND does use it for their station automation, because we've gone through and handpicked which songs are safe, but comedy is such a tightrope. Unless you're just playing Dr. Demento CDs, you really got to be careful, because you might play a Lenny Bruce track that you didn't intend to play.
That's true. And the other thing, so obviously you need to be able to insert things manually or change your mind. And the beauty of using the playlist is that it gives you a structure, but it doesn't force you to use it. And so I'm forever substituting things. I mean, I might not feel like playing this, or last week when I was on, somebody requested it, so I have these rules about not playing the same songs over and over. So, you know, I might not play that even though it was called for in the playlist, or there's just some other reason not to. So there's nothing that forces it. But what it does for me that I like is it actually helps me get through all of the choices of music, because otherwise, you know, like everyone else, I have favorite songs, and we'd probably be playing those same five songs every day because I really like them so well. But this way it forces me to at least consider all of it. And one thing that's kind of cool is that when it creates the playlist, you can actually go in and you can say, you can look at the playlist log, so without even looking at the files, and you can say, okay, I would like to play a song by Bob Dylan, but I don't want to play Positively 4th Street again. So I can either ask it to just provide another song that hasn't been used, or provide another song by the same artist. So you could do that same thing with your Lenny Bruce. You could go through and it could select a Lenny Bruce track, and you could go, I don't think we better do that. But if you think there are other Lenny Bruce songs that are okay, or, you know, bits to choose from, there's not really songs, you could press a particular keystroke and it would offer you another Lenny Bruce option, or you could press another combination that would offer you just something else from the category, in this case comedy, that Lenny Bruce would come from.
Now, Debbie,
I'm sorry, Jeff.
That's okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say that you could also make a clean rotation and a dirty rotation, and that way if you're doing an uncensored show, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. And if you were doing a show on ACB, then you'd be stuck on the clean stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Or you could mix them, like if you wanted to do two for one, your schedule might have clean, dirty, you know, or whatever you wanted. So you can mix your schedule, you can mix things in the hour, and you can make whole things be the hour. It took me a little while to catch on to it, but now that I actually have caught on to it, like I said, mine actually produces for anything I've ever done, you know, more than just very rarely. I mean, there's some formats I can't play at all, and so then I don't even try. I mean, you know, but if it's somebody that I could fill for that I say I can keep format, I'll be keeping format, because when I show up, the right choices will be offered for me to consider at least.
Now, Debbie, what if you have an artist who falls into multiple genres? I mean, do you then have to put them in multiple folders then?
You could do it several ways. You could literally put them in the multiple folders if that's what you want to do. You can also make shortcuts using the regular, you know, create shortcut option.
Oh, yes, gotcha.
You can make a shortcut
okay.
to those folders and not have to duplicate them that way.
Good idea.
And you can break them up in any way you want.
Okay, and you can put folders, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can nest. And as long, like if I had an I've had an oldies folder.
As deeply as you want to.
Okay. And it just goes down and grabs whatever it wants.
Okay. I have, like, for example, at the top of my series of this, I have a folder that's just called music. And so, for example, if I want to have a completely random show, you know, I don't mean that it would probably be random, but if I wanted to feature everything, like, for example, for JC's birthday show, he featured all of his formats. I didn't do that. But what I would have done is I would have created my playlist from that highest level, and it would have considered all of the genres, and I would have said, okay, I want to space them out this way and that. And then underneath that, I have them all subdivided. My oldies are subdivided in several ways. My Christian are subdivided in several ways. But I can select for my categories as high or as low as I want to go.
Now, you have to initially go through and manually build these categories.
Oh, yeah. It probably takes hours and hours.
It's just you manually specify which folders or songs are part of the category. So manually you go through and select them. It's just a regular Windows dialog, like the open dialog box in Windows.
So it takes some initial time to set it all up.
What takes the most time is deciding how to do it, and I've re-decided on a few occasions. So the format that I have now has been in place maybe about 18 months. But it, you know, so you can obviously change it. And I like it because, you know, I began to fill in for Greg Brayton. I needed a new category, and so I just created it from one of my old categories and kept going.
Good.
Now, the nice thing that's really really nice about Studio is that, or Creator actually, is that if you separate your music into folders like I do, I've got an 80s folder and a comedy and a
those
oldies.
Those are natural categories, yeah.
Right, so you can just say, my 80s category is this other list types that have a hard drive full of albums, they're not separated by genre, then you're going to spend some time going, all right,
oh,
Michael
yeah,
Jackson should go in this genre, and so that'll take
BG
you some
should
time.
Go in the,
but
you know,
if
BG
you're lucky enough to
70s,
separate it, then you've got no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We have
even if you don't separate it, you can specify each of the folders.
Good.
Sounds like we have a call.
We do have a caller, and it's Toonhead, actually.
Hello.
Hello, Toonhead. How are you?
How are you?
You even broadcast different than everybody else, don't you?
Well, I don't know if I would say I broadcast different than anybody else.
Well, I mean, I think you're using, aren't you using the Shoutcast plugin?
Actually, I'm using the SAM encoders.
Oh, okay, you're using SAM encoder, so you're not using DuckStream and you're using Winamp.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And I only have one sound card on this computer. I know it's, these days it's like.
Wow, really?
Fashion.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because I use the what you hear option.
I have three in this one.
I know. It shows up that I have more than one sound card, but those are like, you know, if I have like a pair of USB headphones plugged in, or if I have like a, you know, something else. But just one sound card. But yeah, I had a question about Studio, if you guys didn't mind.
Okay, wait. Before you do that, I have a question for you because I'm not sure. Let's find out first. Is anyone else here using just Winamp to do their broadcasting with? No one is, right?
I am. Well, I'm using a separate streaming program, but I'm using Winamp just to play the stuff.
Okay, you are.
No,
okay, okay. All right. Well, so I would like both of you to talk a little bit about, and we'll get to your question, Toonhead, in just a minute.
Okay.
But I thought while we have you here,
all
since
right.
you're one of the interactive guys,
yep.
Wanted to talk a little bit about the options for those that wish to kind of do this really, you know, inexpensively. And let's first talk about Winamp and its playlists. And this can be, now we actually have a whole tutorial on in the main menu archives all about Winamp. And of course, Toonhead, you have your Winamp list.
Yes.
And we'll let you tell people how to subscribe to that.
I can plug that, can I?
You may. And
okay.
one of the things that I wanted to find out from you guys is, how are you creating your playlists in Winamp? Are you doing it... yeah, well, let's just ask that. Let's find out.
I use the playlist editor, just straight old playlist editor, and that's it.
Okay. So you don't play the tracks and have them add it to the, enqueue them and then save the playlist file?
Nope, I just play the playlist editor, and that's it.
Okay.
Seems to work best for me, so.
Good, okay. How about you, Byron?
Well, see, I have some low vision, so I don't use JAWS during a show. So I'm also only using one sound card, but I do have multiple computers, and I have, you know, buses and stuff on the mixer. So I do have, you know, basically the equivalent of two sound cards because I've got multiple computers.
Exactly right.
Cool.
Plural for computer.
Mm-hmm.
But I use Winamp. And really the nice thing about Winamp is if you're doing a comedy show, let's say, or like with Toonhead, he's kind of doing a miscellaneous, like novelty 80s, 90s.
We don't know what Toonhead does, actually.
Nobody knows what I do, but
yeah.
I don't even know
Toonhead's,
what I do half the time.
Genre is unspecified. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what Debbie plays when she replaces him.
Genre. Hey, new show title. Sure. That's good. New
I
show
do
title.
80s if I do him.
You do 80s? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So here's a cool tip. If you're either just looking for things to play in your show and you don't know what to play and you just want a randomized playlist of everything you've got or a randomized playlist of let's say comedy, which is all in its own folder, I just enqueue the entire folder and then I shift tab, or I think it's actually control tab, over to the playlist window and I hold down control, shift, and R. And I hold that down for a little bit. And what that does is it randomizes my playlist. Rather than hitting shuffle, which means that you can't see what's coming up next, now that the playlist is randomized and you can actually arrow down and see what is coming up next and take things out and,
right.
and you know, get rid of all the dirty stuff. So when I'm getting ready for the fun zone, I have a lot of times no idea Friday night what kind of show I'm going to do. And I'll read the news or whatever and kind of get a theme in my head. But for the general stuff that I play that's not a theme, and sometimes I get my ideas for themes by the shuffle thing, but I will throw the entire comedy into randomized mode and lay down and listen and go, oh, I want to hear that, and I want to hear that. Oh, I can't play that.
Yep.
You know?
All right. Now,
and then I save the outcome.
Yeah, good. And then you save that to a file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you do that in Winamp? Do you remember? the actual saving of the playlist?
He doesn't remember.
I think Toonhead would.
With
Control
no,
S, I believe.
I think it is Control S, yeah.
Yes.
I don't use the playlist, but...
Let's see what happens when I do that. Oh, would you like to restart Windows? No! Oh.
No!
Now, let's see. Toonhead, you had a question for Daryl.
Actually, yeah, or anybody else who can answer it. In the presentation that Daryl did, I know that he was muting and unmuting the mic, but he never gave the keystroke for doing that, because I know that there is one. So I was wondering what that is.
It's just M. It's just the letter M in Station's Playlist Studio.
And, well, actually, it's M or N, depending on how you want to
Well, yeah,
to
M is to fade, and N is just a, an abrupt...
Because it said mic on and mic off, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I know there's a keystroke for that, and because that would work great for me, because you know I have to unmute the mic and mute the mic again, and I have a little pair of headphones. I use a headset mic, and it's got a switch on it, which works great. But you know, if I could use that that little keystroke there, that would work out great.
Yeah, the only thing that I found about these switches, in fact, I don't know if I can, no, I'm not using that anyway. But the problem with the switch, of course, is you get this sound. You know, you get the click. At least a lot of time you do. You know, like
mine doesn't.
Really,
mine doesn't do that exactly. But
really?
I know
that's interesting. Mine does.
But that's after. But I imagine after a while, if it gets dirty, you could probably make it.
Because before I got a mixer, I was just using a headset, and if I turned the mic off on the headset. Yeah, as opposed to just muting the microphone with studio, it would make that
popping
sound. Yeah, it was very annoying.
The ker-chunk sound.
Yes, it's very, very
ker-chunk.
Annoying.
We don't want that.
We want to give you an opportunity to plug the Winamp list.
Yes, if anybody has, and by the way, I did have one other tip to give before I do that.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
The other tip I have is if you are going to be getting into broadcasting and all, and you're going to use Winamp, the best thing for you to do, at least for me, is to get to know the playlist editor very well.
Yeah.
That's going to be your key. And remember, folks, when you add a new song or a new, let's say if you just add one song, it always goes down to the bottom of the playlist. It's not going to go
where you think it is. Yeah.
So, like, if you, like, have four or five songs and you want your next track to be, let's say, number three, but you have seven songs, it's not going to go to number four. It's going to go to number seven. So move that up with alt up arrow. So you want to do that to the next position that you want it to go. And so get to know the playlist editor like the back of your hand. Get so you know it in your sleep.
Yeah.
And half the time I have a question for you then.
If you, like, for my show... I usually do the whole show as one playlist, so I actually have, like, for example, my show that I do on Wednesdays, it has 3 hours, and it has, so I have 3 hours of playlist. And if I get a request, if I was doing this in Winamp, it would drop to the bottom of the 3 hours of playlist.
Yeah.
But I have to up arrow it one song at a time all the way. Boy, I'd be thinking about taking requests.
Yeah, I'd be thinking about spending.
That'd be a really good request.
I'd be thinking about spending that $150 for studio.
That's what I'm thinking about doing. Okay.
By the way, Toonhead, that M command is for studio, not for Winamp.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So,
making sure.
Yeah. All right. Plug time, folks. If you would like to join the Winamp for the blind list and ask questions. We get oldies and oldies and goldies, questions that have been answered before, but if you want to join and ask a question that you've been wondering about for a long time, you can send a blank email, or I guess it wouldn't be a blank email. The address to use is Winamp, WINAMP, the number 4, theblind-request@freelists.org, and in the subject line, put the word subscribe.
We'll put that in the show notes. So, if you're
and same for the word. If you want to unsubscribe, you just do the same thing, except you put unsubscribe in the subject line.
Okay.
So there you go. And some people have had trouble getting on and off the list. And if you do, just write to me, and we'll try and get that worked out.
It's the number four.
Number four. Right. Winamp for the blind. And it's all one word, all with no dashes, but there is a dash between Winamp for the Blind dash request at fiddlist.org, and same for that. So if anybody wants to join the list and ask a question that they've been wanting to know, especially about broadcasting, because we love to see new broadcasters get on the radio and get their shows going.
And speaking of new broadcasters, Steve Matsura has been desperately trying to figure out how to add himself to us. Daryl,
yeah,
is he
sure? I'm working on it. I'm sorry. I had to get the show notes in.
We're just trying to get everybody accounted.
We'll have Steve call the 800 number if he wants to do that too. We can get him on briefly. Mm-hmm. So okay, Toonhead, and we'll also get the Winamp tutorial that's available in the main menu archives. We'll add that to the show.
And there's also a SAM encoder tutorial in the main menu archives as well. So if anybody wants to use that, and I did that a couple of years ago. Wow.
Toonhead, if you'd like to assist the production team here, if you would be willing to go over and search those archives and IM those addresses to Daryl, that would be great.
Certainly. I'd be glad to do that.
That would save Daryl some time.
I certainly will. All right.
All right, then.
So I'll hang up now and let the next guy on.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Toonhead.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. Man, this show's going by quickly. Very, very, very quickly.
Quickly.
Let's see. Now, are you going to try to get Steve on the Skype side of things there, Daryl?
Yes, I can certainly do that here.
Okay. All right. So, JC, we'd like to give you an opportunity to, and I'll get that, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about OTS. And, of course, before we got on the air, Debbie was stating her opinion about that. But
I was just giving JC a bad time. Oh, of course. It's a great program.
Yeah, it's a great program, but it is a little bit expensive. Although I don't know, I'm kind of interested to find out how it compares to say Studio, because it may be pretty comparable now. But
now is OTS? I think Studio is more accessible than OTS, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Let's toss this over to JC and let him take it away. I'm gonna go figure out who this caller is and then we'll let him describe, and then we'll come back. All right? And, Daryl, you're working on getting Steve, right?
I'm working on that's about to happen right now.
All right, very good. Okay, go ahead, JC.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm JC, hailing from Palm Beach in South Florida. And I am one of the users of OTS DJ, OTS being a program marketed by OTSZone Corporation somewhere in Australia. I've been using OTS as my broadcasting platform ever since I started broadcasting. It's got some really nice features in it. One of the things I really like about OTS.
Did we lose JC again?
Oh, no.
We got Steve.
He's there, but he's
we replaced one for another. Yeah.
We can't hear you, JC. If you are talking, you're breaking up.
All right. While we're waiting for him, why don't we bring our caller in? He has a studio question, actually. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. How can we help you tonight?
Well, I've been using, playing with Studio. Actually, put in a demo version, and I'm setting it up for a live DJ thing because I'm going out and actually going to make money. You know, just doing parties and such. And the main problem that we had is we went into the search field, typed in what we wanted, playing with it.
Uh-huh.
But then here's the catch. Having to tab about 15 times to get to the results field. Now, is there a shortcut for that or what?
Okay, well, let's see. Now, I know I don't use that feature.
I do.
Okay, good. Okay, I turned you guys down there for a minute, and so
okay,
I'm turning
I
you back
it.
Up. And I know Debbie used it. We're going to let you listen off the air, okay? And you can listen on the air. We're going to let you off the phone here. Is that all right? Sir?
Okay, you're going to let me off the phone, okay?
Right. You can listen on
but
the
air. But
you
we're going to answer your question.
That's right. We're going to have you listen on the air, okay?
Okay, well, I'll go back and listen.
Okay, great. All right, Debbie, go ahead and tell him. Now, I haven't been using that feature. In fact, Rick called me one night and said, hey, can you help me test this?
We need to do an experiment, yes.
Yes, exactly. And I spent like 2 hours working with them on it, and it was fun. And never actually even used that feature. And so tell us what that feature is.
Okay. Basically, the search feature allows you to search among any files that you have actually loaded into the feature. So the first thing that you want to make sure that you do is that you've created a search path. And so you can enter anything into your search path. You can enter, we were talking before about all those categories, and you can enter any number of places in, or one place, or your whole drive, or whatever you want. So you establish a search path, and then the search has a whole variety of fields, including artist and title and album and anything. Fill in as anything you want. I usually fill in either an artist or a title. The best, you can press enter on the field you're in, and that will execute the search. And then to get to the results field, the best thing to do is to shift tab. You don't need to tab all the way around. We've requested that there be a shortcut key created to move focus to the results field, because that would just be a sort of blindness deal, something sighted people wouldn't need. It's not as likely to happen, so we're going to see if we can generate a JAWS script for it. But basically, it is the closest route to the results field is going to be to shift tab, and it's about 4 shift tabs from the title field. And then once you highlight a result, you can just press enter on that result, and it's going to enter itself right directly where you are in the playlist. Another way to enter tracks really easily into the playlist, if you are highlighting a particular file and you would like to add something else from that folder to the playlist, maybe to make a double play or something, if you press Control F on that file in your playlist, JC needs to be added back in. His Skype froze, so
yeah.
I'm giving you a word from JC here. You can go ahead and just enter a Control F, and that'll drop you right on the track you have highlighted, and then you can arrow up and down to other tracks and hit Shift Control V to add those tracks at a time to the playlist where you are. So there are all kinds of very quick ways inside Studio to add tracks.
We're going to call we're going to call Debbie the Studio Professional.
Can I say a couple of things about this?
Yeah, go right ahead. We do have a caller, and we'll get to you in just a minute, Stan.
Okay, this is Steve Metzera from New York, and I just wanted to add a couple of comments about Studio and the search feature that I discovered the other morning, and that is that the longer your search path is, in other words, the more items you have in it, the more folders or files, the longer it's going to take for the first search to start up. So what you should do is, for the first time that you use the search, just open the search dialog and look. It's actually not a true dialog, but it behaves like one. And look on the bottom line of the window, and you'll see a count.
There's a way around this too, Steve. There's a way around this. Doesn't have to do that. Steve is right that if you don't change a particular feature, it will take a very long time to get your first search, and you want to get yourself loaded up before your show ever starts. But there's actually a box, and I'm sorry, because I'm traveling, I don't have the right PC to take a look at this, but I believe it's on the advanced settings. I can provide this for Daryl's show notes later. But basically, there's a box that says don't reload the search paths at startup. And essentially, if you're not making changes, you should check that
negative.
Box. Yeah, don't reload
do
them.
It.
I think it's reload them at startup, and it's
unchecked. I think it's on the general tab,
actually. And if you check it, it doesn't. So basically what you want to do is you want to change the state of that box. As long as you are not making changes to the search paths, then if you do make them, you can manually load them at your convenience. But there's no reason to have that search path renew each time.
Okay, but it's still a pay me now or pay me later situation. You've either got to load it when Studio starts, or you've got to load it on your first search.
Okay. Right. No, you don't have to load it on your first search, because if your tracks haven't changed, there's no reason to load it at all. It'll be loaded.
Yeah, the file will already be created.
Oh, that's really good to know.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you've made big changes, you need to change that. But if you haven't, you don't.
Exactly. I'm going to go ahead and turn you guys down just for a minute. We're going to bring our caller in here. And it's Stan the Man from Oregon. And, and of course, he has a question for us. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, pleasant good evening, especially to Debbie, because I certainly listen to her a lot, three or four people. And I listen to all of them, but I mean about three or four people I do. And I have station playlists, and I like using it. But I'm going to have to really go and listen to this again, because I really want to make myself a part of the ACB radio family.
Well,
I'm a radio refugee, and you know, you can take the person off the radio, you can throw them out of the station, but you can't keep radio out of a person's heart, especially the way it used to be.
Of course.
But anyway, I just wanted to take that comment and let you go on to other people.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Bye.
And we're looking forward to joining the staff. That'd be great. It'd be really fun to get you guys on.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And let's see, do we have JC back?
Yep,
I am here. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you fine, yes. All right, now let's give you an opportunity to talk about the setup that you use, JC, and we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm an OTS user. I've been using OTS pretty much ever since I started broadcasting on ACB Radio back in 2002. And it's kind of similar to station playlist in that it also relies on templates, what you would call rotations, I guess.
JC is not having good luck here.
Well, this is just not working well, is it?
I think it's because he's on a different version. Byron, do you have any way of patching him in through the phone?
I sure do. The only problem is, if I patch
I don't have a way of doing it without affecting the 800 number.
Yeah, you guys will probably hear a slight echo if I patch him in through the phone. Because right now I've got things set up so that you guys can't hear yourselves, but...
Oh, I see.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
If it goes to the phone patch, it comes back out and hits you guys in the eardrums. So.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay.
Let me see what I can do here.
Well, I could talk a little bit about OTS DJ if you like.
Steve has used it and I've used it.
Okay, all right. Well, let's let Steve go ahead. He hasn't had as much of an opportunity as others here tonight. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry about that, JC.
Okay. Good evening again, everybody. And, or morning, whatever. OTS DJ started out as being this little piece of software, and it was real cheap. I remember when I first bought it in 2000. It was a whole $69. Now it's about $269.
Wow, okay.
They really raised the price on it. And the accessibility on OTS DJ is not that good. However, you pay with one hand and you get with the other. It has features and it has audio that some of the other things don't have. As JC was just describing, it is it can be a category-based system. You can set up categories, and then you can pick from those categories, or you can have it generate a playlist based on time. For example, you could tell it, here's a 3-hour block, fill it up with music, and you can tell it what categories to pick the music from, or you can just tell it, here's a directory, and it'll go load music from that directory. That is largely how I was doing my underground shows when we first started, in September of 2000, and up until the last Underground show, which was a while back. That was also how I was doing my AJN Sunday morning shows. I would just open the thing up and say, go grab some tracks, give me a 3-hour block or a 4-hour block, whatever, and I will insert things along the way as I need them, which was very easy to do. You just move your selector, your arrow, up and down the playlist that's generated for you, hit a key, and you can insert a track, or you can insert what OTS DJ calls a directive. Now, a directive is, in station playlist language, a directive would be something called a spot group or an event. They give them two different names for two different things. But in station playlist, they all come under the heading of directives. A directive could be something like, stop after this song. or a directive might be insert a special type of track here, or all kinds of things that you can do with your playlist. You manipulate the playlist the way you want, and then it just plays, just like all the rest of them.
Now, Steve,
the thing about station playlist... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one other thing before you move to station playlist. One of the big differences, of course, is that the AUTS format is not... You can't play MP3s in it, right? You have to convert your music library to...
Oh, not true.
Oh,
really?
Not true.
Oh, okay. That's a misnomer.
However, there are advantages to converting, and the conversion is pretty painless. You can do a batch of lots and lots of thousands and thousands of files in an overnight period. The only problem is it now means that you've got to have two sets of media,
gotcha.
MP3 and AUTS. And the AUTS are always bigger than the MP3,
gotcha.
Because they contain metadata. Now, metadata is nothing more than an 8-letter word for lots of extra stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Your studio files are larger, though, too. The MP3s that are created for studio have lots of metadata in them as well.
That's true.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But once those files are loaded with the extra metadata, you can still play them with other things. You know, they're not damaged to the point where only studio can play them. They remain pretty much...
What I would say about studio, I know that it was mentioned that maybe the audio is a little better with AUTS. What I would say is, if you don't like what you're getting out of studio, then you could use plugins like Sound Solution or something. Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
That's what I was just going to get to next. AUTS, unlike any of the other solutions, with the exception of Sam Broadcaster, which I don't think we've even touched on, comes with its own audio processing software built into it.
And it's very good.
It is. I have to say, even the latest stuff that's available for things like Winamp and Studio and whatnot, there are things in AUTS that I would much rather use if I could, because they just sound better. They spend a lot of time on the audio processing and not a lot of time on the accessibility. And the other thing that's really nice about AUTS is that when you tell AUTS to begin playing something, there is almost no lag time, what we call latency, between when you press the button that says play and the music actually starts. Even with Winamp, you press P for play and you're like, hiccup, okay, now it's going to play.
Yeah.
And even in station playlist, you press the play key, and you wait for about the length of a hiccup, and then it starts to play.
Exactly.
Well, that depends a little on your processor, actually, because I don't wait.
Yeah.
JC's ready to rejoin us. He's upgraded his Skype, so we could try one more time at JC.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Hey, JC.
But AUTS is a pretty neat program, and to make it easier to use for JAWS users, Jim Snowbarger, carefully of ACB, Radio Interactive fame, and you can still hear him on our jingles.
And you can hear him on mainstream.
There for him.
And you can hear him on mainstream, yeah.
Anyway, he has a set of scripts available that work very nicely with AUTS and take some of the hardship away from their bad accessibility and automate it quite nicely and make it easy to use.
Now, Steve or Debbie has the AUTS folks been approached about accessibility, and if so, what?
Many, many times.
All right.
Let's get JC.
So I would recommend it's not being used.
It has never changed, and they have never done anything that I know of to contact us to talk to us about enhanced accessibility.
That Ross has
done. Is there like a bit of a delay whenever you input audio into AUTS, when it comes back out, is it slightly delayed from your voice from all the processing and things like that?
Good question, and the answer, unfortunately, is yes, there is.
Just like station.
Yeah.
It's actually
Station Playlist does that, too? Okay.
Station Playlist does it more.
Yeah.
It can. Yeah. Station Playlist doesn't have to do it, but unfortunately, yeah. AUTS does.
Yeah, and if you're listening to yourself on headphones, that really can be a trip if you...
Wait a minute.
Well, you know,
Why doesn't Station have to do it? Station has the same system, doesn't
if
it?
If you run Station Playlist through the sound card, then it doesn't do it.
Correct. Oh, you let it use its own... Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
what I do...
If you're just using it as Live Assist, it doesn't...
Right.
If you're using it as Live Assist through the sound card, it doesn't do it. If you're using it through its own processor, it does the same thing AUX does, but it actually does it worse.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can turn it, you can, yes, you can get that gap a little
you can turn
better,
it down, but I want to hear myself, so I run it through the, I run it through the sound card, and it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But it is a problem, it is a problem, otherwise. Okay. That is
yes,
a drawback.
Unfortunately, that's, unfortunately, you don't get a choice for that.
All right. I think JC's back with us.
Yeah, he sounds much better now.
Hey there, JC.
Hey, how am I sounding now?
Wow, you actually sound like you now.
Wow.
Better codec.
Well, the latency issue is an issue. I have to admit that. But what I've done in my setup is I set the latency down to 1 second, and I can actually listen through headphones without it driving me too crazy.
1 second?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's not 1 second. It's one, okay?
Yes,
I'm not sure what units they use. You can use one, two, or three.
I actually think they're milliseconds.
Yeah, I think it is milliseconds.
Yeah, milliseconds. So I set mine to one, and it's actually usable. What I like doing is when I'm on the air, sometimes I'll switch on the speakers while I'm using the microphone. And
gives
everybody
you natural
gets,
echo.
It's natural echo.
Now, we're still talking about AUX, right?
No, that's right. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I
AC,
like about AUX...
talk about the AUX library?
Yes. Okay, yeah, this is that's a good thing.
We have about we have 3 minutes, folks, so keep that in mind.
Okay. The way AUX works is it stores information about your songs, not the songs themselves, but information about the songs in this huge database called the AUX library. It has things like the genre the song is. If you're using AUX albums, it'll tell you what songs are on the album. It'll also tell you the last time it was played. And I put notes in it as who requested it last. It's very customizable.
Oh, how cool is that?
It's just really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Studio does that too, and it's really a nice feature.
Mm-hmm. But my favorite part about OTS is the compression, the automatic gain control, and the limiting that really make it sound good.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Studio comes with many of these things, and it actually comes with multiple.
And it works with DSP plugins and stuff.
Right, so you can add
whatever. AUX has that right under the hood, and as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the absolute selling features of AUX. The only reason I actually didn't go with AUX, because I liked it just fine, is that most of my files are Ogg Vorbis, and they won't convert to AUX.
<That's right.
laughs>
Oh, but too bad. Well, you could convert them back, but then, of course, you'd lose.
You have a lot of quality loss when you do that.
Yeah.
You never want to do that.
Yep. Yep.
And my thing is, personally, I will just say, at least personally, if I'm going to plunk down a couple $100, I'm going to give it to a company that listens.
There's a lot to be said for that.
They have been very committed to accessibility. Yes.
Yeah.
The Asian Playlist guy is just great. Russ.
And the response time.
Levis.
Yeah, the response time to him getting issues fixed is almost unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't think he ever sleeps.
I reported an issue, and an hour later,
I were also very well received by other cited members of the list.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
They seem to be right on top of our concerns.
Absolutely.
As well.
And actually,
the
nicest thing about it, Steve, is that low-power FM stations who can't really afford big, fancy automation systems, this is right in their price range. So, it's perfect for us.
All right. Well, before we let all of you go, and this will take a couple of minutes, I want to give all of you an opportunity to plug your shows. And so why don't we go ahead and start with you, Byron, and then Debbie, and then Steve and JC. Yeah, there you go. And then Daryl, of course.
All right. Well, my talk show will be coming up in just 5 minutes here on Mainstream, the Talk Zone, where we're just going to cover things like science fiction, technology, and all that. And my other show on Interactive is at 2200 UTC until 0 UTC, where I play novelty, comedy, and other strange music. So check that out.
Okay. Debbie?
Well, I do the oldies version of the Music Mix on Sunday at 03 UTC. I do the country version on Monday at the same time, 03 UTC. I do a Christian contemporary show called A New Song on Wednesdays at 13. And I am the only person who has a show that starts on the half hour. I do at 12:30 on Thursday. I do a variety 70s and 80s mix.
Oh, cool. And why don't you go ahead and plug Rick's shows?
Oh, gosh, yes. And Rick couldn't be with us tonight because he's having cool company. And he does the Oldies and More shows on Sunday at 21 UTC and the Timeline on Wednesdays at 03 UTC.
Okay.
Thursdays at 03 UTC. Thursdays. Sorry, Wednesday night, but Thursday.
Wednesday night,
UTC.
right, yeah. Okay, now, Steve, you're kind of, let's see, I don't remember. Do you actually have a permanent slot?
No, he's got a regular, yeah.
You do now, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
All right. I'm behind
you
the
sure
times.
Does. Yeah. It's noon to 15 on Monday. It's called the Secret Stash, and it's when we open up the vaults of 40-plus years of rock and roll.
That's right, yeah.
And play all kinds of things you don't ordinarily hear. Like last week, who'd have thought that the Detergents actually put out a real album? Mm-hmm. Leader of the Laundromat, remember that one? Well, they have a real album. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff we do.
Cool.
We go through the vaults and pull out the real oldie goldie musty dusties. You never thought you'd hear this one ever again type of music.
There you go. Okay.
And also look out for me on Wednesdays. Oh, it looks like maybe in the afternoon, maybe afternoon to 15 or 13 to 16, I see a lot of DJU time. So I'm going to be going for that slot as well, I think.
Okay, good. Let's see. JC.
JC.
Okay, I've got three shows on Interactive. On Tuesdays from 17 to 21 UTC, I do the Magic City Express. That's a country show. On Thursdays from 15 to 19 UTC, my Christian contemporary show called Rock of Ages. And then on Friday mornings, 11 to 15 UTC, my 50s, 60s, and 70s rock, soul, oldies, classic rock, occasional comedy show called Rock This.
All right. And Daryl, make it quick. We've got about less than a minute.
Desert Cafe with Daryl and Karen Shandor, also known as Carol and Darren, Mondays, 22 Universal, here
good
on ACB Radio Interactive.
Okay. You guys hold on. I'll be right back with you. And the Desert Sky Show, of course, and that's heard on, Saturdays from 2, oh boy, I'm going to screw up the time, 2 to 5 Universal, just prior to Kevin. We'll be back next week, folks, with another Main Menu Live, and of course, Main Menu. And so don't miss it. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.